Well, good morning.
Woohoo! For those of you that don't know, it's good to be back. And for those of you that were also gone, it's good to have you back. And with Yuming gone, I'm starting this thing out. On the easy note, I'm glad you're all here. There's several things we're going to talk about just briefly. And I think one of them is if you want to throw that GoFundMe page up. As we know from Pia's, or many of us know from Pia's text yesterday, Elizabeth, who works with Elizabeth's last name, Elizabeth Martinez, house burned yesterday and her husband was killed and others were injured. Of burns. Yeah, pretty horrific. I remember when all the sirens were going by. So, what we'd ask you to do is one, pray for Elizabeth and her family, and also preferably consider whether you would donate. And we have a GoFundMe page that Pia had sent out. It's posted on the screen. And if you need it, you can always reach out to me. I think that. And you've got it, so you can share it too if okay. So if you would, but let's bow our heads and just pray for them. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you this morning. And Father, I want to lift up Elizabeth and her family to you. For the relative that's medevaced, Father, I ask you to help them walk through the pain of a burn. And Father, we just speak your life and your healing to them and ask God that you do extend your hand of healing to them. And Father, to the other family member that's injured, I ask you to heal them as well. And for the loss of a husband, God, the impact of losing your spouse is, we know, is pretty terrible. So, Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to comfort her and her family. Help them with the process of walking through it. God, I ask you to give her great discernment. And that's something that's hard in those times, God, but I ask you to bless her with it. And Father, I don't know her state or whether she's a Christian or not. And if not, Lord, I ask you to move mightily in her life and save. And God, all of her family, anybody that's not, I ask you to save them. I ask you to grow them. I ask you to heal, comfort, lead, guide. And Lord, I ask you to show them your love. And I ask you to supply their every need according to your riches and glory, Lord, literally by Christ Jesus. And Father, for each of us, God, I ask you to speak to us whether we should be part of the support for them in this. And give us the grace to be able to use the GoFundMe page and to help them. And Father, if there's any other way, God, that you want us to help, Lord, I ask you to show that too. And God, for today's service, Lord, I ask you to lead us and guide us and strengthen us. God, I ask you to feed us. I ask you to give us grace to submit to you in all things, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, and the scripture for this morning is Proverbs 29, verses. It's actually verses 18 and 19. I'm going to go ahead and read that in the New Living Translation. And it says, "When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. And words alone will not discipline a servant, but the words may be understood, but they're not heeded." Verse 18, or first part of it in the King James, you're more familiar with, and that's without vision, the people perish. And we'll certainly deal with those scriptures in just a little bit. Glad you're here today. We've got all this month, we've got lots of people traveling. And so we're going to pray traveling mercies on everyone. And sometimes those are interesting to see what the mercies are. Flying back this past Friday was intriguing. It was nice to be able to find, how do I say this? Well, you'll appreciate this. Big men seats, the ones that you have leg room in. I had great help from Suhail on going down, and actually three of my flights I had great leg room. Turned out really well. The last one on the way back, I was 34E, last row, center seat, and yes, thank you. It's a good laugh. I was like this. I had a teenage boy on the aisle seat and his mom on the window seat. And we talked, just chit-chat a little bit. And the teenager goes, "Would you like to switch with me?" And he looks at me, goes, "So I can sit with my mom." And I go, "Oh, only if you want to." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I'd be fine." And he gets up. And I was thinking, praise God for this. I'm an expert at popping those side arms up, and I can get in and out of those things in a heartbeat. But it turned out to be really good. They were nice people, nice chit chat with them. But really, on that flight with the two flight attendants back there, and I believe they were Christians, invited them to church if they ever overnight in Juneau on a Saturday night. And they go, "Well, that flight doesn't do that." And I go, "Well, weather's an amazing tool." But in case, but it was a good opportunity to chit chat with them. And throughout the day, there were opportunities of helping people. And I have never seen, and I did ask the two flight attendants, "Does it ever trouble you all on the amount of stuff that people carry on the plane?" And they looked at each other, and one of them looked at me and she goes, "Yes, but we have to pick our battles." But one family, they had two small children, and then one child who could walk. And they had 7 day packs, and the two backpacks, and one rolling carry-on. I don't know how they made it, but anyway, it was good. It's got to help several of them. And people were incredibly gracious. And I thank God for some obscure reason, not again, I don't mean to say that badly, but blessed people to be a blessing to others on this trip. No one got angry. Babies didn't cry a lot. And that's okay. I tell people all the time, and I will tell you that many times our Jewish friends are much better at this than we are in church. If you're sitting in any of the synagogues that I've been in, and if babies start crying, because babies are apt to cry on occasion, everybody just looks at them and smiles. And I figured out that the main reason is there's a whole bunch of grandpas and grandmas, and we just love hearing kids one way or the other. If they're crying, that still sounds good to us. But they're really good and encouraging towards their kids. Well, on these flights and in the airport, very few kids were upset. And they were having lengthy delays on lots of planes, and everybody was just kind of just the way it is. And I was pretty blessed by that. It's good stuff. Well, this is where I think I'm done with my part. This is where JK gets to come up. We got a few things going on today. It's going to be good.
Read 7:15. Stewardship. I'll read the light print. You follow along with the dark. The earth is the Lord's and fulfill fullness, therefore, the world and that they dwell within. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills. Honor the Lord with the substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. If I will not open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. every man according to his purpose in the heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or not or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Please be seated. So, Clive, Garrett, you guys want to come up? Tell's going to come up in a minute as soon as the video. He's going to play some videos for us. Can you play them? And then, you guys come up. Come up. Come up. Tell, can you play the videos and then come up? Right here. Over here. So, they're going to give us a little bit of their testimony from what happened in North Carolina. But these are some videos from Samaritan's Purse. And they're going to be pretty inspiring. So,
this is the basement they just cleaned out?
Yeah, this is completely full of water. We was in the house, and I told my best friend, I said, we got to go. And she said, it's not gonna be bad. And I said, you need to look out the window.
It was storming and it was raining and the wind was blowing, and then we lost power. Nobody knew that this was going to happen, because we all thought that it had turned and was going to hit somewhere else.
So we all just grabbed a little bit we could, come out, and the water was already up to like the fourth or fifth step.
When I went out to try to get help, I went this way first. The tree was down and I was kind of getting nervous and scared because it was raining really hard, and the wind was blowing like crazy. Like, I didn't know, expect it to be this bad, but it was. I went that way. There was a landslide. It was like the whole mountain just looked like it fell down. And this way, the road was just washed away. I drove up there, and I had to back up and leave because had nowhere to go. I was trapped.
I was so scared that I was going to die.
We happen to have a really big crew. It's been awesome how many volunteers have responded. It's just been wonderful. Came out to the site, asked the homeowner to pray in with us, and straight up, God told me, go tell them. He was saying, go tell them the gospel.
We was talking about God and how he's an amazing person, and we learned that Jesus, if you know Jesus is in your heart, God can be there for you at all times. It was actually really beautiful.
I just want to tell the Samaritan's Purse that I am so grateful for everything that they have done for me. So grateful, and God bless each and every one of them. They are amazing human beings for everything that they have done.
And they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, repented of their sins, just ask him to come into their heart, Jesus to come into their heart, be part of their lives. And I am just so blessed and humbled to get to do that.
out of nowhere. There's no water, and then all of a sudden a big wall just comes and fills everything up. My wife called, and she was floating on a mattress, just floating around the house. My whole family that's been here forever has never seen anything like this.
This particular disaster is unique in itself because we're not used to having storms, especially hurricanes, come all the way up and hit Western North Carolina. Families witnessed their homes being washed away with people in them. The force of the water was just taking trees, taking mud, mudslides were happening, bridges were being washed out, people were being trapped. So this is all very unique to this community, who has never experienced in our lifetime so much damage to the community.
It's an emotional toll to see what these people have gone through. We want to help. That's the love of Christ, is just encircling and enveloping everybody.
And then I ask you, Father, to watch over him.
Right now, these people just don't know what to do. And our team comes along and we give them hope. We pray for them, we minister to them, we lift them up, and we tell them, hey, there is hope. That hope is through Jesus Christ.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody again, especially after a long week and watching that video. It was very good illustration of what happened. For those who don't know me, my name is Clive Mateo. I was with the Samaritan's Purse team from this church that went to North Carolina with my father, Mr. J.K., Garrett, and Tell. And together we went over there for about a week. We witnessed and helped out with the Hurricane Helene situation. When I first was told about this mission, I wasn't so sure what to expect or think. It was my first time going to North Carolina, and I didn't really know what to expect. What made me want to come was kind of, I guess, what happened as well in the video. Seeing after watching Hurricane Helene do all this stuff and all the houses in mud, it was almost nothing compared to what we actually saw. Though we weren't there for the brunt of it, we certainly, the aftermath was still just as severe when we went over there. When I got there, for the first day, we hauled out buckets and mud. Well, of course, first we first did mud work, and the houses were flooded. Even before we got there, there was a bunch of trees and mud and fallen branches everywhere, and truly a crazy devastation. You could see the houses of roofs torn off, and you could see mud flattened over it from where the water level was. It was just awful watching it. But it didn't seem that awful when we got to the work site. Everyone that we were greeted with and we were provided with, and just the people of Samaritan's Purse, have really just had a positive attitude. Everyone was happy to be there. Everyone was amazing, and the people were astounding. And when I first arrived, me and Garrett and Tell walked up to the site. We came out of this rental car after going to a Waffle House from like 45. I don't really know how far away it was. But it was my first time going to Waffle House. Like, that was certainly a new experience to have at North Carolina, because we don't have that normally here. So, it was a lot of first experiences. I mean, so it was pretty awesome. We were handed shovels and were asked to start digging. And as we dig, we talked with the people. And as we got to know and grow, we could truly, well, me personally, I could truly see God working in this time and the people that were and the people that were just there. Everyone was at every single site. Everyone was just there to work and eat lunch, and we'd talk a bit whenever we had, especially like except for the times when we were like exhausted afterwards because we could barely stand up after the first day. And we're like, man, we're gonna be hauling mud all week. Like this was gonna be, like, this is gonna be crazy. I didn't think that it was gonna be this much, but the rest of the week was filled with gutting out the houses of branches and moving around a bunch of logs and stuff. And overall, it was definitely an experience. What God really showed me throughout the week is that really God can bring any sorts of different people together as long as they have one set goal in mind, which was to help out during the disaster. And to me, that was a really big blessing to see, and truly an awesome thing I got to be a part of. So I'm glad I came on this trip, and I'm glad I got to share this all with you. Thank you.
For me, it was just crazy to see how much got destroyed, and how bad it still was after 2.5 months. Like, there's still 18 wheelers in the ditches and mud on top of some guy's roof. How like you could see foundations where there used to be a house, and it got swept away. I mean, train tracks with nothing underneath them. It was just crazy how I never thought it could be that bad. And even 2.5 months later, it was bad. But yeah, and it was a good experience for me. And I was just glad that I got to go. And I enjoyed Waffle House.
I'm Tell. The experience was just crazy. Like the tragedy that these people went through for the still the tragedy that they've been going through for 2 months, and they're probably still going through. It was good to know that we were helping them just a little bit, but we were helping. And it was also just the teamwork that we had with, 15 to 20 people. We all had a set goal that we had to do, and there was no arguing, no like bickering back and forth. It was really, really nice just to have the set goal, and we completed it a lot. But yeah, the devastation, it was crazy, but I'm really glad I went.
And with that, good morning again. Let's please sing and stand as we sing these songs and give our praise back to God.
Oh, now is the time to worship. Oh, now is the time to give your heart.
Oh,
just as you are to worship. Just as you are before your God. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. Willingly we'll choose to surrender lives. Willingly our knees will bow. Mind and strength, we gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God.
Thank you. Please be seated for praying through the names of God.
Elohi, I, Elohi, Mikaroth. God who is near. He is always near, and that is a great comfort, isn't it? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And here's a name that has been given to God from Jeremiah 23:23. That's a good memory verse. 23:23. You can remember that. God says, I am God who is near, with the name Elohi Mikaroth, declares the Lord, and not a God far off. Let's pray to this God. Elohi Mikaroth, you have commanded me to be strong and courageous, to not be frightened, just as you spoke to Joshua so long ago. I'm not to be dismayed because you, my Elohi Mikaroth, are near to me wherever I go. Because of you, I'm able to freely live. I'm able to move forward, and you know you are there, and know you are there. You are the God of my praise, the God of my presence. Where I am, you are. There's nowhere I can go outside of you. I am yours, and I honor you with the words of my mouth, lifting up of my hands, for all to see that you are the one who brings my heart to a place of true praise. Elohim Ikaroth, you are near, you are not far from me, but I am sometimes far from you. When I feel distance between myself and you, you are not the one who has wandered. Forgive me for being so far away in my thoughts and in my heart. You're right here. You're right with me now. When I looked for you, I find you. Yet forgive me for not seeing you when I am blinded by my own desires, my own pain. Make me know your presence, Elohai Makarov, for I can experience you in all that I do. We're thankful, Elohai Makarov. Thank you for being so near as well as far off. I don't have to be anxious about the things I need because you are so close. You already know what I need. You stand at the door. You abide in my soul. Where can I go from your spirit? Thank you for that. I cannot flee from your presence. You are the God who is close to me. And I give you my gratitude for never abandoning me and never leaving me. Elohim Makarov, may I know the grace of your presence by being aware of it. Will you cause things in my life to help me recognize your nearness? I want to live my life in the full awareness of you, Elohim Makarov. I don't want to spend another day of waste, another opportunity not experiencing you. The full and abundant life is found only in you. Show me your hand, your heart, your love, and give me a sign of your abiding closeness in my life. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Truly, Elohim Makarov, you are always near, Lord Jesus. We thank you and pray in your name. Amen.
Please stand and sing the Days of Elijah, but before we do that, I would like to read some verses from the last book of the Old Testament and the last book of the New Testament. So in Malachi chapter 4, 5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers." And in Revelations 1:7-8 is, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him, even so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty."
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow, still we lift a voice in the desert, crying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in the vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. No. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet comes. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion to salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation come.
Join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for just the time that we get to have to praise and bless you, God, and that thank you for this music and for that we were even able to get up this day, Lord, and that we were able to come here together to be in the presence of you. Just be with us as we fall. Help us to lay down all our burdens and cares right now today at your feet as we do fall down. Let's sing.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatest song, mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatest song, mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Dear God, thank you again, Lord. We can never stop saying thank you. And thank you for just being so holy and amazing. Thank you for this day. And as we come together now and offer up these tithes that we would just remember in our hearts, Lord, the great goodness that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, you're without excuse if you didn't worship this morning. This is a big deal. You know, I'll tell you, there are several things today. One, the praise team was, what's a good word here? You all were wonderful. Great. I haven't sang these are the days of Elijah in a long time. And if you ever want to have a fun time on YouTube, you should look it up. And it talks about soldiers, but really it was a group of Marines. And they're riding on the clouds and they're doing the hoorahs, but they're worshiping. And it's impressive to see Americans fighting forces doing that. I was blessed by it. Pia, thank you so much for the text yesterday. And we did talk earlier and put up the GoFundMe page and a few other things. But do you have any updates you'd like to share? Do you know anything new today? Okay. So if anyone has any questions or loses track of the GoFundMe, Cecile and Pia are your resources on that, but we've got it here too. Well, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, again, we come to you, God. And Father, you tell us that in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And Father, you give us challenges on how to do this, but God, we do and praise you, and we do thank you for all things, and trust, God, that you absolutely are in charge. And God, we submit to you in all of these things, and help us, God, to know how to be a bearer of the gospel, to be a vessel that you use to pour yourself out upon friends, family, Juno. Father, help us to be Joshua's, that wherever our feet go, your turf, God. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, I started back in December with something that I'm apt to do and not fall down those stairs. One of the things I've traditionally done is start seeking God about his vision for me for the upcoming year. And then by the same token, I have a responsibility to you all in that as well. And I think it's pretty simple. And today's not going to be a lengthy thing, but I'm going to lay out some things that perhaps you can get a hold of and work as we move forward. You know, for me right now, last Sunday, it seems like a long time away. And God gave me some leading about vision before I left, and then the whole time down in Missouri was interesting. The funeral was unique in the sense that the daughter and granddaughter of the lady whose funeral it was were not, what's a good term, friendly with each other. One side of the family sat here, one side of the family sat there. Sisters, sorry, yes. And they had two videos. Each had put together a video of their mom, and we got to see both videos. Both had written up obituaries, and the funeral home was kind enough to merge them together and make it a usable tool. And just praying about that service, and you go, you know, what is it that my friend Violet would want? Well, I had to go back to what Violet had said to me several times. And so this was probably one of the more evangelical services that you could imagine. And basically, it was that thing of just give it to them. And, you know, I told them early on in this about the three things. You know, weddings are fun. One of the nice things about being an ordained minister is you get to do all these wonderful weddings. The only thing is they're not as beneficial as it could be, because people are so excited about being married that I think they don't hear much. And then there's baptisms. And baptisms are great. You know, we applaud for people. We love people. Sometimes it's just the joy of seeing that kid of yours dunked, you know. And watching them rising from the dead and all that's going to be in front of them. But not always long-lasting. It's long-lasting for them, but not necessarily for the people that watch. But then there's funerals. And the nice thing about a funeral is every person in that room knows that they're going to die. If you all didn't know, none of you are getting out of this alive, just so you're aware. And that's not a bad thing, because as a Christian, as a child of the King, we know where we're going. And there's some joy in that. I would tell you that I have a friend who didn't really like flying a lot. And he was down in the Caribbean and on a mission trip. And Jimmy was coming back. So, Pat, we know we're talking about Jimmy. Jimmy was coming back, and he was a little nervous. And honestly, the maintenance is not necessarily that to which you would be accustomed to in the United States. And there was a man sitting beside Jimmy. And Jimmy was starting to pray about the flight. And the man goes, hey, what are you doing? And he goes, what? And he goes, are you praying? And he goes, well, yes, I am. And he goes, well, are you praying that God stationed his angels around the plane? And he goes, well, yes, I am. And he goes, well, brother, you know what that means, don't you? Turns out this guy's an evangelist. And he goes, that means that those angels are here to do God's exact will. And if that means crash this plane, they're going to be pushing for all they're worth. I'm confident that strengthened Jimmy at the moment. Well, maybe not. And, you know, you sit here and you look at a lot of things. But at a funeral, again, everybody knows that their turn will come. And I'll tell you, you can be surrounded by many people, but only the person who's dying goes through the door. You can have no one around you, but only the person dying goes through the door. And that's something that we all get to do. And I it's hard to say, I am so excited about this. Do you know where we're going? You know where we're going. And you should think through this. And again, I've said it to you before, so I'll say it again. Using a repetition, eventually it sinks in. Being a prostate cancer survivor and having lost that chunk of blood, laying there and going, God, am I going to live through this? And that still small voice of the Holy Spirit goes, do you want to? And so often in my prayer time, and really by prayer, what we're talking about is communication with God. Not one way, but with two-way communication. Expectation of God's leadership in my life. How he speaks to you, it could be taking you to scripture. It could be expanding a particular scripture to you and seeing things that you'd never seen before. And you go, well, how can that be? And think road to Emmaus. Remember, they were on the road to Emmaus. Jesus was crucified and buried, and they didn't know that he'd already risen. And he's walking with them. He says, what's going on? Why are you so downcast? And they start laying out all of these horrible things that had just happened. And he begins to open scripture to them and explain to them all that's going on. And then the point comes where he's revealed and who he is, and then he disappears. And I'm shortening up the story. But you have this life in front of you. The life is here. And you live today under the leadership and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. We have plans, and our plans are just that. They're just plans. Things change. God has a plan. God's plan doesn't change. This is exciting, and I'm blessed by it. And I remember answering God's question, do you want to live? Answering it with, if I'm going to be useful to the kingdom and walk in a way that honors you, then I want to stay. And at the young, tender age of 72, I recognize that everything over 70 is an absolute, it's a gift anyway, but I'm only promised my 70. And anything after that is just icing on the cake, gravy on the potatoes, whatever illustration you want to apply to it. But the fact is, we don't know when tomorrow brings, and we don't know when that day comes. But are you prepared? And I would contend that God gave me dying grace at that hospital bed, laying there on my side, being morose from lack of blood and all that, and yet walking through this. And I think that whatever that dying grace is, and I've been shot before, I've been cut before, it's not a big deal. I'm kind of like Billy Graham. I would like for it to be sweet and gentle as opposed to lengthy, painful. But the other side of this, and it's not a message today about dying grace. It's not a message about what comes next. But the question always comes down to you on what are you going to do next? And so when I was praying about this, God would just give me a vision for us for the coming year. For without vision, the people perish. And I'll read from the NLT just because it's good and simple. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. And actually, I'm going to stop there. That's it. Simply that. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. That means you try to find your own way in a way that is not necessarily what God would have or the way that he would have you to walk. So you get to make choices. You get to make choices on this future. Without vision, the people perish. Well, so I've been praying. And I actually have notes today. Here's my list. I think it's a vision of engagement. And You know, we've got people that are out traveling today. We've got some that are down south for a while or preparing to go. Some that just came back. But what's the vision? If it's engagement, how do we engage? Well, I can tell you that on this trip, I felt engaged. I felt engaged at Violet's funeral. You know, Violet did not know what was on the other side of the door. But she knew that her master was there. She didn't know what accommodations really are like in heaven. But she knows that Jesus is there. And have you fallen in love with Jesus? And do you want to do what he says? You go, well, what does that mean specifically? You know, here's the answer. I don't necessarily know for you. I know for me, I'm not supposed to waste a lot of time. And when God provides opportunity, seize the day. I know that I'm supposed to stay prepped and ready. My lamp's supposed to be full. The wick's supposed to be trimmed. We're supposed to burn brightly in what we've got left. And that left may be 100 years. What's left may be on the way home today. Well, you don't know. You don't know. I'm confident, Pia, that your friend Elizabeth didn't anticipate this before it happened. That's the way life comes to us. You know, I remember as a police officer, I almost used the C word, maybe I will, as a cop. I can still remember in Petersburg responding to the noise complaint. How many noise complaints do cops go to? And I keep moving over towards my friend, the firefighter, paramedic, who only shows up when people want him. Not the police who show up every time that a bunch of people don't want you to. But I remember doing my little, what we called javelin prayers, because it's short and you can throw it quickly, and just going, God, would you watch over me on this? And that still small voice going, you'll live through it. I still remember stopping the car. Lights are on. I turn the siren off. I go, what? You'll live through it. Okay. Well, okay. So then went ahead, and that's, a little bullet wound thing. Really didn't hurt badly. The doctor hurt more running a boar brush, I call it, through back and forth through the wound in my arm. But I would tell you that I should have had absolute confidence in the Lord. From an elected office standpoint, I learned that you ask God questions. And it's up to God on how he wants to respond, what he says to you. It's his choice. And how does he speak? Again, he can expand scripture to you. He can open a particular scripture to you. He can speak to you. He's never spoken to me audibly. I'm confident he can. He has to others. He did to Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. Others, through something they see or hear or even a smell, God can speak to you. So many people say, well, I look out at God's creation. Well, you should look at God's creation, and God should speak to you through there. Many ways that God leads. But be sensitive to the way he leads in your life. And then the other side of it is when he speaks, do. Do. JK, I am so proud of you and on this trip that you went on. And Reese, the same for you. And the dedication to be part of the chaplaincy program with them. But guys, tell Garrett, Clive, for you all, I'm incredibly impressed. You went and you executed on the mission. And everything report that we got is the people around you that were working in the same vicinity were incredibly blessed by you. That's a big deal. We didn't send children on this. We sent five men on a mission trip who, from my observation, came back better than they went. And I'm not saying you didn't pour yourselves out on this trip, because I think you did, but I think you came back more than when you went. The question is, how do you hold on to it? You walk trusting God that when he gives opportunity, you're there to move in. You're there. I have heard each of you say, This isn't the last time. This isn't the last time. Every time will be different. What God will do with you will be different. I remember one time that there was a funeral in Angoon. We weren't over there for a funeral. We were over there to hold church service. I was over there, and Harold was over there. And you never know when an opportunity is going to step in front of you. In our case, started following us, and that was the howling dogs. All the dogs in the village started howling as we came out of the tribal house and walking down the street. And I looked back, and there was a pack of dogs walking towards us, snarling. They didn't look like dogs were supposed to look doing this. And I remember going, Harold, what do you think this is? And he said, I think this is of the enemy. It's sure not of God. And I go, well, what are you going to do about it? And he, about this loud, turns back and looks at them, and they're about 20 yards from us. And he goes, Satan, I bind you and those dogs in Jesus' name. And every dog in town stopped howling. All those dogs stopped snarling, and they just kind of went and turned and walked away. Mission opportunity. Did he act upon the opportunity that God provided? Yes. Did he act appropriately? Yes. Was the outcome pretty good? Yes. The outcome was good with Stephen, who got stoned to death. The outcome was good with Philip, that after the second time, got translated to Azotus, whatever that means. I still see a beam me up, Scotty thing. But I don't know. But what I'm saying is obedience has its own reward. All the time, every time. So, vision. One, engage personally in worship as frequently as you can. Secondly, engage in corporate worship, which means when two or more are gathered in his name and we're lifting him up. Take seriously, take the time to be intentional about these are the days of Elijah. It's not just that we're singing a song. We're seeking to walk in unity with the Christ who died for us. So this is an individual and a corporate group thing. Then there's also this thing, I believe this is a year that we're supposed to get our hands dirty. And that doesn't mean necessarily taking 5-gallon buckets and filling them full of mud through the floor joists and carrying them out and dumping them. But if it's that, do it with joy in your heart. Garrett, was that pretty easy? No, didn't think so. It looked horrible. But you all executed upon it. You did the work set before you. It's what you're supposed to do. And if it's the opportunity to lead that first person to the Lord, make most of those opportunities. If it's preparing the way for the next person, make use of those opportunities. How do you engage this community? My poor barber. Poor guy. I'm letting my hair be longer each time, so I get to go more often. It's a little spendy. That means it costs more, but it's worth it because I think he's worth it. And I still love going to the grocery store. You know, I've only gotten to pray twice with people in the last month in a grocery store. But I could have prayed with no one. You know, look for those opportunities. This airport was so much fun this time. Seattle, and I really don't like Seattle Airport, but I just getting walked around and go, hey, could I help you carry your bags? Because you're carrying too many bags than you should have. No condemnation. But offer to help. Little help. Are they sad and downcast? Do you get to pray? Go preach a funeral somewhere. That's a great thing. You go, what do you mean it's a great thing? It's a great thing because everyone pays attention. Even the funeral staff pay attention. Stay with people. Bless people. Be a blessing. Seek ways to do it. Seek ways to interact. I didn't get to be here for the progressive dinner, but I sure saw the photos and the videos. Those fireworks were pretty spectacular, I think. Yeah, Evie described it to me. There's a little town outside of Jefferson City that we would go to the old Miami Firework Festival every year, and it was great. It just, everybody sat around and oohed and aahed, and nobody caused any problems. It was great. And I think you all duplicated what they did. And they had, you spent some change on this. But I looked at pictures of people in the different places. The photos, and I didn't see anybody with tears streaming down their cheeks. It's pretty spectacular. Well, the fellowship in this church is great. But the more of us that engage in that fellowship, the better it is. Last Sunday, there was a whole big group of people back here. And I remember at one point walking back to them and going, folks, it's been 45 minutes. Are you ever going to get out of the pew? And you know, when a church doesn't want to leave the building, that's an indication of love that they have for one another. This is pretty solid stuff. So keep it up. Keep it up. Do those things. Bring others in. Bring others into it. Seek ways. How do you seek ways? Well, one, you open your eyes and look. But two, you ask. Ask God, Lord, how could I be useful today flying on an aircraft from St. Louis to Seattle? What's amazing, how many people struggle with an overloaded, overpacked carry-on suitcase and can't do a standing press to get it in there. But I can, so it's okay. I get to help on that. I got chased down the aisle helping this one lady, and my seat is on aisle 6D, for those of you who know what that is. That means I'm right behind first class, and I've got a leg room. But to help this lady, because she was struggling coming down the aisle, she's pulling one, she's carrying one, and she's got one stacked on top of her case, and she's got a day pack on. I don't know how she got on the plane. But we're going back, and I got to help her, so now I'm stuck back at 34 until the plane is entirely loaded. And this one flight attendant taps me on the shoulder, and she goes, why aren't you setting down? And I explained to her, and she goes, oh, and she turns around, and she comes back and hands me two chocolate bars. So maybe there's a reward there too. I don't know. But just look for opportunity. What are you going to do, sit there and mope? Because that's what we do. A lot of times we get our seatbelt on and we just kind of... The worst that someone can say is, don't talk to me. Okay, then don't talk to them. But maybe across the aisle. So if we engage, and I'm going to go back to my little note here to make sure I don't forget anything. Personally, get God's leading, worship, and dirty our hands with ministry. Then I'm going to look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to for my path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word, literally means God speaks to you. God speaks to you. He can speak to you through the written word, but God can speak to you. And if this is true, it says He guides your way. And if you want a simple illustration of that, wait till very late at night, like 4 o'clock, when it's all nice and dark out. And if you haven't driven out to the end of the road, drive out to the end of the road. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a big user of my cruise control, because in my case, that makes me drive the speed limit. In Evie's case, it keeps her at the speed limit. Did I lie? But here's the thing, when it's dark outside and you're going to the end of the road, you know the road has an end. And you know about where it is because you've probably been out there before. But it's dark outside and you can't see the end of the road because, one, it's beyond the curvature of the earth. And two, it twists and turns and goes up and down. Sometimes it's foggy. Sometimes it's snowing. A lot of times it's raining, and occasionally it's clear. But you can still only see what your headlights reveal. So when you're going there, there's times when nobody's coming and it's not foggy that you can flip them on bright and you can see a little farther. But you're living in anticipation that the Alaska Department of Transportation has not lied to you and cut the road off just over the top of the hill. And you believe that. You believe that Alaska Department of Transportation won't lie to you about that, but you act like God will. All you can see is what's revealed by the light that he gives. But you have to trust that he loves you and cares for you enough that you will engage. I like that one. I like the illustration of the light. And I will tell you, ever since I thought about that the first time, I do wonder. I used to worry about it more in Missouri with MoDOT. Maybe they will cut that road off. That's okay. God's got a plan. Well, regardless of how far your lights can see, God has a plan. And you're supposed to be an active part of that. We're supposed to live intentionally, seeking his face so that what he says to us is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It comes back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't trust yourself. Trust him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, which is to say, seek his face, and he will guide your path. And that's easy to say. It's easy to quote. It's harder to do because you have to set your fear aside. You have to set your somehow inherent belief that if God messes up, you're smart enough to figure it out on your own. And I'll tell you, you're not. So, vision for the year, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And absolutely trust that he will guide your path and bring you home safely. Can you do that? We're going to have our once a month invitation with the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to paint a little picture that occurred in this room not very long ago. And I want you to think about this Lord's Supper. And I'm going to pick on Joanna. You know, Joanna has been a Christian for a number of years, but she had not been baptized. And she was waiting until she was confident that God was ready for it to happen and that she understood to the bottom of her heart what it was to submit to believer's baptism. And she and Annalise, right there in that, well, empty now, baptistry, were baptized. But something else that Joanna had told me is that she had never partaken of the Lord's Supper because she felt that she should be obedient unto baptism before she did, and she wasn't ready to be baptized until that Sunday. The next Sunday was the first time that we'd had the Lord's Supper. That's December, first Sunday in December. She had never partaken before. She clearly was ready. And as we're standing here, and the deacons were breaking the bread, and the deacons were prepared with the juice, I was watching her face. And to catch you up, because you've probably never heard me say this before, the state of Alaska spent a great deal of money teaching me to watch facial expressions and body language. So then that's when people get nervous and stop trying to let their face change. But I was watching her because I wanted to see. And the bread was hard for her. But when she got to the juice, we're Baptist juice, she's looking at it, and as she begins to lift it, the tear comes running down her cheek. When's the last time that you were tender on the Lord's Supper to the point of tears? When was the last time that you remember the worshipful experience that this is to be every time we partake of the Lord's Supper? You know, we in just a moment we're going to pray. And you're going to ask God, well, I'm going to ask God for all of us, but you have to ask God in your heart too, Lord, search me. Is there anything in my heart that's not right before you? And if so, God, I promise right now, just between you and me, Lord, I'm going to confess it to you. God, have me in absolute right relationship with you. And then remember that Jesus allowed his body to be broken for us. And that with the shedding of his blood, represented by the Jews, that he paid the price for not just your sin, but every sin that's been committed or will be on this world. That he carried all of our sin for us who couldn't carry our own sin. Old illustration. There was a old guy down in Texas that bought a Rolls Royce, and somebody said, how many horsepower has it got? I have no idea. So we went back to the dealer, and this was pre-computer days. This was teletype days. And he sends a message, goes to the dealer, and the dealers had no idea how many horsepower. And so he sent a teletype to England, to the headquarters of Rolls Royce, and asked the question. And then pretty soon, the teletype starts spitting out the paper with it on it. And the answer was sufficient. If you want to know the power of the blood, it's sufficient. It's sufficient for whatever need has ever manifested itself. It's sufficient. I academically understand that. Emotionally, I don't get it. And that's what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's what we celebrate. We join in the celebration of our Christ. So if the deacons or Harold and whoever else is helping with this come forward. JK. Woohoo. As I said earlier, today was going to be a little different, a little shorter. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which was given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as oft as you drink it. For every time that you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" So we're going to pray here in just a moment. And then after that, the elder and the deacon are going to break the bread and pass it out. But as it comes to you, remember to hold it, and we'll all dine together. And remember why we're doing this, and let us join our hearts and our heads together in worship of this Lord Jesus Christ, who yielded his life for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you, Lord. And Father, I ask you to search our hearts. God, I ask you to show us any sin that we're regarding, that we're holding on to and not letting loose of. God, I ask you to seal in our heart all the things that you've done and help us to give up everything that's of us or the world or the enemy. Any sin, any place where we've missed the mark. In Jesus' name.